Hello, Royals fans, and welcome to another edition of Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, and I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. I realize that if you have been a faithful listener, we've skipped a week or two here as we've gotten our schedules pretty hectic between both James DeBoer, Sports Information Director, and myself, and Matt Huntsberger, who is our recording specialist. We apologize for that. We will try to keep on a regular weekly schedule from here on out if we can do that. So we do invite you to continue to tune in each week as we try to get a podcast out for you. The day it's published, put out may vary from time to time, but we'll try to keep them about a week apart. So each week you should be able to find something on the podcast related to EMU athletics. And I would invite you to continue to check out the webpage as new things will be coming up. All the fall schedules are starting to be put up there. We'll also be working on some other recaps from last year as well. I'm running solo this week, and I would like to spend the time focused on the Old Dominion Athletic Conference board meetings that I attended last week. Sue Kolb and I attended the board meetings held at Wintergreen Resort. It's a 2.5-day session that we spend there. We gather together on Tuesday afternoon, work well into the evening, have dinner together, work all day Wednesday morning till about noontime, and then the afternoon is spent in recreation and leisure and hikes and reading and resting. And then we come back on Thursday morning for about a half a day and left right after lunch there. So I'd like to highlight a couple of things that we talked about and get into perhaps a little bit of an idea of some of the things that we here at EMU would also be facing. It is a typical board meeting with a variety of reports, standing committee reports, and then each sport committee, the report that they have. We have moved all of the sport committees, or will by next year, to meet prior to the season rather than after the season. And we think that will be very helpful to them. So we heard from baseball, basketball, lacrosse, riding, swimming, indoor and outdoor track, a whole variety of those, plus the awards committee, budget committee, championship and games. Brian Wigley, the Shenandoah University faculty athletics representative, was there and reported on their meeting that they had as well. We discussed some membership issues as well. The commissioner gives his report. We talk about the budget, and there's usually a variety of things that he brings. We also have a representative from the NCAA there. One of the things that got started a couple of years ago was times when we sort of close our agendas and close our folders and spend time just simply talking about a topic or an issue that might be important to all of us, but without the pressure of needing to make a decision, without the pressure of trying to figure out where everybody's coming from and what position you're holding on the issue. But just to talk about it, it started several years ago when I was president, and I asked them just to reflect upon how they got where they are and where they think they would be if they weren't in their current occupation and location. And that sort of got us started on one. And I'd like to focus on a couple of the topics that we talked about at length and how they might impact EMU, but also just to let you know some of the things that we are dealing with. Probably the major one that we spent time talking about, let me just go back for a minute and give you an idea of some of the things that, besides hearing the reports, we would make a few decisions on, and they would come out of some of the sport committee's report. The location and dates for the golf championships, they are moving from Bay Creek to a new location after having been there for 3 or 4 years. And the place that they found in North Carolina, the only date that suits is starting on Easter Sunday. And that created quite a bit of stir. And so we had to spend some time doing that. And we decided to move away from the Easter date and actually move it closer to a time that would impact either final exams or graduations. Another one that we dealt with was a couple of the sport committees, particularly track and field, wanted to add a new award for the assistant coach of the year. And the athletic directors turned that down as a request, something the national committees do. But we felt, given the budget implications that we have, et cetera, and for a variety of reasons, we chose not to. Another one had to do with men's and women's basketballs when there are doubleheaders scheduled at the same location. Apparently, the women's coaches are feeling like they never get a chance to play first. They always play second, which, again, most of the people they're claiming are already headed home or they don't get as much practice time. And so apparently there are some situations on campuses where the men's and women's coaches aren't able to work this out, or the athletic director doesn't step in and make this alternative. So given the state of Title IX issues and just for the good of everyone, we did decide that that when there are home games scheduled for men's and women's basketball, that if it is a doubleheader beginning in 13-14, the women will play first, and in 14-15, the men will play first. So that's just a sampling of three decisions that we made based upon reports that came back from the sport committees. When we got into the discussion time, it came in a variety of ways, but I would say we probably spent our most time on finances. Not so much finances of the conference, although we did ask the commissioner to go back and sharpen the pencil a little bit, because it's a little difficult for us to see, for some of us to see our own employees, including ourselves, not getting any cost of living increases, several schools for probably 3 or 4 years, and then to see the commissioner and their staff continuing to get 3 or 3.5% increases, which was mandated by the president. So we will take that back to the president's. But I want to focus a little bit today on the cost of athletics. And the question was framed a little bit to say, where will we be in 15 years or 20 years? Is there any stopping point? Nearly everyone is feeling the pinch within their own budgets. Fundraising has certainly become more of an emphasis. There are more schools that are reporting that the responses from the administration are that if you want that, you're going to have to go fundraise for it. And so while some schools are lamenting the fact that their budgets haven't increased over the last several years, they also report that they haven't been told they can't do something. They simply go out and fundraise for it more. What became interesting in the discussion was looking for ways to cut back. And everyone, I believe, agrees that there have to be some reductions, that we can't keep moving forward. But I would say that most of us are probably afraid to do it on our own campus. Let me give you an example. I talked to one athletic director who said they needed to cut, I don't know, $25,000 out of their budget. And we looked at it, and one of the things that has been coming up is having teams travel together, so that if two soccer teams are playing at the same place, or basketball teams more likely playing at the same place, that they can travel together. And our basketball schedule was actually put together in that way, where there are more times, not all the time, but there are more times where you're traveling to the same location. If we were to have teams travel together, that would easily be, for a season, that would easily be a savings of $25,000. But as we went around the room, no one that I could tell was willing to do that. They said the coaches won't do it. They said they don't like to do it. And yet there are conferences and schools all over the country that are traveling together. We had a report from the athletic director at Emory and Henry, who came from a different location not that many years ago, reported they always travel together. Did she like it? No. Did they get accustomed to it? Yes. So there's joint travel would be one way. We've talked about the fact that everyone feels compelled to play their full contingent of games, 40 games for baseball and softball. We had a lengthy discussion about the possibility of sponsoring legislation in the NCAA to reduce the number. And, of course, then there's some on the side who say, well, you just don't have to play as many if you don't want to. That's only the maximum that the NCAA gives. We all know that as soon as you start to reduce something like that, the fear is anyway that coaches will use that to recruit against you. They will say, well, look at EMU. They don't even believe in athletics that much because they don't let their teams play the full amount. I think the jury is still out on that one. I'm not sure that that really happens. I don't know that it certainly can be proven that it happens. but that's one way. We've talked about championships, our conference championships. The sport committees always want to expand it. Ever since men's and women's basketball got all 12 teams into the tournament because they play an unbalanced schedule, that particular horse is out of the barn, and everybody wants to have more teams in because they claim the parity that's there. We have, several of us have called for reducing the championships to four. Just have the quarterfinals, just have the semifinals and the finals. Going to 8 teams, 12 teams. That would be another way to reduce it. Giving fewer awards out. Every time we come upon something that is generally discussed about ways in which we can reduce cost in our own departments, there is always pushback from us to say, well, what about the student athlete experience, and how can you do this, and how can you go backwards? One of the elements that plays into this is, as we discussed, the economic realities versus the student-athlete experience. And how is it that can you give a student-athlete the best experience? We have also dealt with the idea that, and maybe this comes to the heart of it, is to simply say that while there is a philosophy of Division III, very, very, very few of us can actually really live by it. The realities of enrollment-driven schools, the realities of the value of an athletic success to the university for enrollment purposes, for publicity, all of that drives all of us to do whatever we have to do to improve the student-athlete experience and to improve our athletic programs. And that continues to cost more and more money. Finding better competition to prepare yourself to get into the NCAA. We are not at a point, to my knowledge, where there's a lot of coaches who are given raises based upon or incentives based upon getting to the NCAA, et cetera, et cetera. But there are more of us in the ODAC who truly are competing at the national level and looking at the national level. And so the questions become, how do you reduce something that is meaningful to the university and is meaningful to the student athlete? And I must admit that I come away somewhat frustrated, particularly with the fact that no matter what it is we came up with, they're just unwilling to do it. And I point to myself. We did have a few combined trips, not of the same team. We sent a women's volleyball and a field hockey, I believe, or women's volleyball and soccer to the Roanoke area to do different schools. We've tried to do some of that. But I agree that there is a student-athlete experience that's there, and I know the coaches, for the most part, would be adamantly against traveling with another team. I don't know if that's a throwback to the olden days or exactly what it is. I don't have the easy answers for where we go. I do know that as long as athletics are at an institution, they will continue to cost more money. They want us to increase our enrollments through athletics and roster sizes, and then that also includes the cost to transport them, to feed them, to put a uniform on them. And so while it was an interesting discussion to hear everyone, it was very frustrating in a sense that no one has come with too many really good solutions that we're willing to do, that we're willing to cut back on. We have faced our own challenges here at EMU in terms of athletics and finances, and people have used some of the documentation that is in the some of the reports that are given to the NCAA and the government about how much we spend on athletics, and I'm sure there's people out there who would be appalled that we've gone over the $1 million mark in terms of the athletic expenditures, and yet that is pale. That's a whole lot less. I think we're now at about $1.2 million. It's a whole lot less than our compatriots down the road, Bridgewater, that are about $4 million. Now they have football. I understand that. So the finances continue to be something that we are challenged by. It seems like everybody wants to do better. You have to do better in order to recruit the best athletes. Once they're there, you have to do whatever you can to make sure that they stay there. because we are being pressured from the side of the administration, all of us, for enrollment and for retention. And yet at the same time, we are asked to be either cut back or increase fundraising for the operations of the athletic program. So I come not so much with answers, but certainly would invite your discussion. I'd be happy to take any emails from you to talk about ways that we might be able to reduce it. We certainly are taking a look at that. We are trying to find out ways to do that. It's a little hard when you're already at the bottom and you're competing against everybody else. For an example, we allot about $1,500 for every coach to recruit. And once the recruiting has become wider and wider and wider, and we need to start with 500 names or 1,000 names just to get the 6 or 7 that we end up finally enrolling, the wider net you spread, the higher quality athlete and student you're going to get. So that's just one example where our particular coaches could use a lot more money to recruit, and it would increase both the numbers and the quality of the student athletes. But where do we end up getting that money from? Is that money that's well spent then in terms of what the return is for it? So we are continuing to look at ways where perhaps we have to spend a little bit to get a little bit. And I welcome your feedback, but just to let you know that all of the coaches, all of the athletic directors, I should say, feel this as a major pinch. And I think it goes back to what role will athletics be playing on the university campus. I invite your feedback. I invite you to continue to think about all that happens with athletics and how good it is for the student athlete, but ultimately what it costs the individual, what it costs the university to do that, and welcome your feedback on that. Thanks again for tuning into this edition of Inside Athletics. I hope I've given you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at what's happening here at EMU and within the ODAC. And we'll join you again next week. And until that time, I invite you to make it a great week.